Friends, let me say, if you haven't been here in the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at a seven-week series on dying to sin and rising to holiness, letting go of the old way of living and now imitating Jesus Christ in our living. And today we're looking at maybe a controversial topic, maybe a scary topic as we sit there this morning, and people are a bit nervous at the early service, dying to gluttony and rising to self-control. It's about what we eat, what we put into our bodies, and whether that honours God or not. And, you know, I found a lovely diet, what was called a dieting under stress. And it goes like this. Let me read it to you one at a time. It says, for breakfast, half a grapefruit, one slice of dry whole wheat toast, 8 ounces of skim milk. For lunch, 4 ounces of lean boiled chicken, one cup steamed spinach, one cup of herb tea, one Tim Tam. Snack, the rest of the Tim Tams in packet, 2 litres of Rocky Road ice cream, one jar of hot fudge sauce, nuts, cherries and whipped cream. For dinner, 2 loaves of garlic bread with cheese, large pizza, jug of Coke, 3 Mars bars. Just to round it off, this stressful diet, with the late evening news, an entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly from the freezer. Here we go. Now, we think about gluttony for a moment, thinking about overeating or eating too much. And I must say that a lot of us probably don't think about that as sin. And if I ask you, do you have a problem with gluttony? You think, gluttony? I understand we talk about sexual sin and violence and murder, but eating too much, a sin. And sometimes we almost ignore that whole idea as if it's okay, put whatever we like into our body and as much as we can into our body as long as we don't throw up. Now, most of us think, well, an occasional chocolate fix I may have. No, but that's okay. I'm relaxed this morning. I haven't committed this sin, never going to commit it, because I'm pretty good in this area. And, you know, I thought, I've never heard a sermon on gluttony, and I've never preached one before. And I'm thinking, man, what do you have to be careful for? You know, when you preach a new sermon, you've got a new topic, you think, who do I have to be careful of not to offend? And how am I going to express certain things to make sure people don't think I'm having a go at anyone and having a go at myself? Because after the end of the first service, Tim brought a bunch of pancakes down the bottom just to finish up the sermon nicely, and I just took one and not the plate. It's always a matter of, eating, how much? Am I a glutton? Aren't I a glutton? But most of us would think, oh, easy, not a problem. But let me suggest to you, and I said on Tuesday to Tim McBride, I said, Tim, I might pick a different topic this week. It doesn't seem like a big sin, this gluttony thing, eating too much. I might find something like violence and murder and blood and guts. Because, you know, they're the type of things you shouldn't be doing, right? He said, well, you know, maybe you ought to just keep exploring a little bit later, a bit longer. And I thought, yeah, maybe I ought to. Maybe I need to hear this sermon as much as anyone else. And I think some important topics come out. And you know, I was thinking as I was writing this, I thought, the picture of the Western world and people in buffets, that's my picture. People in buffets, food everywhere, you can have as much as you like. And on the other hand, I picture little children. We're talking about Sierra Leone, child soldiers, sometimes no food, nothing to eat, starving kids who starve to death, waste away. On the other hand, things that we sort of put into our bodies that we don't need, wasted food while others waste away. So what does the Bible say on gluttony? First of all, let me say gluttony is an overindulgence and overconsumption of food. Friends, we're not talking about the extra biscuit. We're not talking about, well, I happen to have a little bit too much ice cream today. But we're talking, when the Bible talks about gluttony, it's a significant overindulgence and overconsumption of food. Let me read to you from Proverbs. Do not join those who drink too much or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothe them in rags. So the picture there is a drunkard and a glutton, people who sit back at a party and eat as much as they like, drink as much as they like, and the only thing that matters to them, they think it's just about the food, it's just about the drink. They don't have a spiritual perspective of life. Proverbs 28, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion, a friend of gluttons, disgraces his father. That's bad, isn't it? So you're hanging around with gluttons, people who just eat and need and think that's all there is to life. Proverbs 23, I love this one. When you sit to dine with a ruler, someone who has plenty of food, Note well what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. So I call the glutton, really, in terms of the Bible's picture, it's the person who eats and drinks till you spew type of person. There are a few of those in Australia, aren't there? Or the person who says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Or for the Australian, eat, drink, have a bet. Isn't that terrible? We haven't had a chance to have a bet on the horses the last few weeks. Just broke my heart, really. Just had to stick to Lotto and the lottery, and now the Keno's coming into the pubs just in case I couldn't get them in the club. But, you know, the Aussies, eat, drink, have a bet, watch the footy, be merry, or drown your sorrows, depending on whether your team won, for tomorrow you die. Friends, that's the picture that the Bible's against in terms of gluttony. The primary picture, it's gluttony, it's eating and drinking and sort of, at the end of it, I mean, my picture is throwing up all over the place. But food is a good gift of God to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. John Piper writes that when sin captures our good desire for food, it becomes gluttony, or on the other hand, it becomes bulimia or anorexia. What would be a good gift of God to be enjoyed for our sustenance, for our growth, and so our bodies could be used for the glory of God to serve the needy, becomes gluttony or bulimia or anorexia, where people find their joy and satisfaction in earthly things rather than in relationship with God. Do you know Jesus himself was accused of gluttony? Luke 7:34 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Because Jesus hung around the poor people, he hung around the outcasts, he hung around the sinners because he wanted to show them God's love and God's forgiveness. People say, oh, you just hang around those people who get drunk all the time. You hang around those people who are gluttons. They just stuff their face with their food. They don't care about anyone else. They don't give to the poor and the needy. They just put it all in themselves. You hang around with those types of people. And Jesus did hang around with them. He wasn't a drunkard, nor was he a glutton. But he showed God's love and care to people. Friends, gluttony leads to physical destructiveness. But also the lack of control exhibited in gluttony can cause us to, in a sense, kill, to hinder our spiritual growth. The Bible says we are called to serve and honour God with our bodies. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, notice, not just your mind, not just your heart, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. In his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, Jerry Bridges writes this, quite possibly there is no greater conformity to the world among evangelical Christians today than the way in which we, instead of presenting our bodies as holy sacrifices, pamper and indulge them in defiance of our better judgment and our Christian purpose in life. He writes, I am not singling out those who have a so-called weight problem. Those of us who can eat what we please without gaining weight, don't you hate those people, may be more guilty of gluttony and indulging our appetites of the body than a person who struggles often with failure to control his appetite for food. We should all examine ourselves as to whether we eat and drink to the glory of God, recognizing that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Friends, 1 Corinthians 6 points forward to this truth. It says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. The context there is sexual immorality. Your body is not to be used for that. Likewise, your body is to be used to honour God in every way. You know, when I was growing up, and I was told by my father, who's not a believer in Christ, and by the person who told me about Jesus Christ, that smoking was bad. Many people were smoking back in those days. A lot more people were smoking in Australia 20, 30 years ago. We got smarter since then. But we'd say to people, listen, it's not good to smoke. And those who struggle with smoking, I say, well, you know, I just can't help it. It's just the odd cigarette here and there. And we used to say, listen, the smoking kills your body. The body has been given to you by God. Look after your body. Protect your body. You want to serve God. Don't destroy your body. And I remember one guy turned around and said, yeah, and you eat chocolates and donuts and all that stuff. And that's destroying your body just as much. And how true that was. Maybe not at the same level, same intensity as smoking. And for many of us, it's like, no, don't do that, don't do that. But then we overindulge, not simply overindulge, but we eat the wrong things that destroy the body that God has given us. We need to be careful about the abusing our bodies. Pastor Bill Hybels from the Willow Creek Church has written a book called Honest to God. He has a chapter in there called Staying Fit, A Glaring Blind Spot. Anyone feeling guilty yet out there? By the way, I stopped the middle of the first service. You're feeling a little bit awkward about what you're eating, what you're not eating, and what you ought to be doing? I am, and I'm presenting this stuff. But he talks about his own family, glaring blind spot, staying fit. This is statistics from 17 years ago, and it's far worse today. The USA loses nearly 1 million people a year to food-related diseases of the heart and blood vessels. There's also a dramatic increase in diabetes and obesity. A recent study reveals that only 1 in 4 Americans can be considered normal in regard to weight. He says, my own extended family provides a perfect case study. On my father's side, 3 uncles had died of heart attacks before the age of 55. My father died of a heart attack at 53. And he describes in the book how his father loved all those big fatty sort of food. Bring on the steaks, bring on the bacon, bring on the sausages, all that type of stuff. And so we didn't realize what we were doing to our bodies. He says, on my mother's side, 2 uncles died of heart attacks before the age of 50. He says, when I was still in my 20s, I began to have health problems. With my family history of heart disease, I knew I had to take them seriously. So I radically changed my eating patterns, and the results have been tremendous. Increased energy, decreased illness, weight loss, and most important, the knowledge that I am glorifying God by what I put into my body. Friends, we run a program at this church called First Place. It's a Christian discipling program, but also includes a dieting program to help people to get right with God, build their relationship with God, but also learn to look after their bodies in a godly way. And it was set up a few years ago, and someone said to me after the first service, I joined that group 2 or 3 years ago. It's drawn me closer to God, and it's made me more sensible about how I eat and what I eat. We have an exercise class on Monday nights. It's a way of saying we believe that we need to look after our bodies to the glory of God, and you're most welcome to join on a Monday night as well. But friends, it's not just about your body, because a lack of self-discipline leads to sins in all types of areas. Jerry Bridges writes, the person who overindulges the body, I want you to think about this, in food and drink, will find it more difficult to put to death other sinful deeds of the body. If you don't have the self-control to look after what goes into your body and what you eat and so on, it will make it more difficult to put to death other sins of the body. So the habit of always giving in to the desire for food and drink will extend to other areas. If we cannot say no to an indulgent appetite, we will be hard-pressed to say no to lustful thoughts. There must be an attitude of diligent obedience in every area to succeed in putting to death any expression of sin. I was reading a book this week also by Gordon MacDonald. He's written a book called The Resilient Life. How do you build a life that you can go strong and strong and strong until those final breaths? What type of things do you need to do in terms of reading, thinking, exercise, and so on? Here's a chapter called Resilient People Keep Themselves Physically Fit. And he writes this. I'm feeling a bit guilty because I haven't exercised much in the last 5 or 6 months. But this is stirring me up today, and someone needs to keep me accountable this week. Make sure I do some of it. He says, much too often I find myself talking with people who are seriously overweight, who admit to sloppy eating habits and to rest patterns that make no sense whatsoever. He says, imagine a conversation like this. He says to the man, Gordon says, do you respect yourself? The man says, respect myself? Oh, I'm not sure. Why do you ask that? So, well, are you sure you want to talk about this? The man says, yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm noting the way you appear to take care of your body. It tells me that you enjoy eating more than you enjoy taking good care of yourself. My impression is that a part of you that wants to eat is speaking louder than a part of you that desires to be healthy and vital. Why do you think that is? He asks. The man says, I'm not sure. I know the answer. Then he said, what do you do each day to keep yourself in shape? The man said, well, I, like many of us, I've been thinking about getting into shape one day, into an exercise program. He says, and when do you think that might start? The guy said, well, so busy at the moment. Sometime later, probably. He says, my bet is that you are probably struggling with your spiritual disciplines, aren't you? The guy said, well, yeah, I think you're right. And he says, have you got room for a couple of more cheap shots? How are you doing the disciplines of spending your money? Any struggles with sexual temptation? And he writes, usually not always, there are connections. And the other person in this conversation finally acknowledges that large parts of his or her life are out of control. says, a reader will be excused if he or she thinks that this is a long series of assumptions built merely on the basis of poor eating habits. But the fact is that there are usually connections all across the board. One breakdown in self-mastery often leads to others. So what do we do? Friends, God calls us to rise to self-control. We're to take control of our bodies, to make our bodies our servant and not our master. Get that? To make your body your servant and not your master. Where you tell your body what to do, your body doesn't tell you what to do. Can you separate yourself from your body for a moment? Well, your body doesn't tell you what to do, but you tell your body what to do and how to live in such a way as it brings glory and honor to God. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, Paul says, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, Paul is talking about the importance of spiritual training and self-discipline at this point. He says, I work so hard in spiritual discipline and training to ensure that I keep going. In effect, he says, I box myself, I box my body to get it under control, to live a holy, godly life and an effective life for the glory of God. Bridget says, if your body makes all the decisions and gives all the orders, and if you obey, the physical can effectively destroy every other dimension of your personality. But we are called to be self-controlled. And the good news today for me and for you is this. The Bible says that one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So if you're a Christian today and God's Spirit lives in you, He wants to produce in you the fruit of self-control, not just with lust, not just with anger, but with overeating, with gluttony as well. God is capable. Is God capable? God is capable of changing your life in that area. You may need some help. You may need a support group. You may need some friends to be accountable to, but God is able to change that area as well. Paul says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walk closely with God in word and prayer and fellowship so that you grow in that. Paul writes to Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And I'm saying to myself this morning, Grant Sooners, God has given you a spirit of self-discipline. The fruit of the spirit of self-discipline, you stay close to God, allow that self-control to come into your life, to every area. So you walk at 5:30 in the morning, that's when you're going to walk. That you eat healthy food, you don't eat too much junk. And don't overeat, God can take control. Apostle Paul says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Friends, and the passage that was read to us, 2 Peter chapter 1, really says, by God's grace, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Are you capable of living like Jesus? God says we have all that we need to obey him and to be godly, that we will participate in the divine nature, become like Christ, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. But you have to do something about it, and so do I. It says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. You have to do something about it. You just can't say, well, I just can't help it, I just overeat. It never works like that. You make a choice. You take control of your life. You tell your body what to do. You don't let your body tell you what it will do. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things you need to do, like all sin, is to reduce your exposure to temptation. Now, that's tough to do, don't you think? I say to people, you're having trouble with lust, be careful what you go to on the internet, on the web. Be careful what magazines you pick up. Be careful what movies you watch. Feed your mind with positive, godly things and avoid temptation. If junk food is killing you, don't spend a lot of time in shopping centres. That's almost all you'll get for the price you want to pay. If you go out for dinner, don't choose a buffet, or at least not too often. Because, you know, the temptation is great. I'm Greek, right? If I pay $25 to go to a buffet, I'm going to get my $25 worth. Because, you know, there's the entree, and then there's the bread, and there's the main course. Three plates later, I see the dessert, and I'm a sweets man, so I've just sort of born with all of that food, just because you have to eat before you get to the dessert. I've had a dessert, then there's that ice cream, and you put the Smarties in as well for the other things. And I know I shouldn't go back because I was already full 35 minutes ago, but I paid my $25 and there's coffee still to come. And you go back for the second ice. Maybe you don't have this problem. It's okay. It's my confession time. And I go back for the ice cream. I'm an ice cream man and I throw a bit of cake in. And then you walk out of the place. How do you feel? Why did I spend that $25? It's going to take me 5 hours of walking or exercising to get me back to normal, and I didn't even enjoy it. I feel like eat and drink and be merry and spew up. Right? It's a bit like that. See, if you have a problem with sweets and biscuits, and because sometimes it's not the amount, it's what you eat, don't stock them. If you eat high-fat ice cream all the time and it's not good for you, don't stock it. I always say to people, stock boring biscuits that you don't want. Give them to the visitors, but don't eat them. You won't eat them. You know, in our office here 10 years ago when I started, Barry Taylor, treasurer, used to buy his biscuits. Pastoral team, people come in and see us. We'd like a cup of tea and a biscuit. The problem is, at least with me, the others weren't much better. But I was worse. You'd have a cup of tea for morning tea. It's lovely cream biscuits. One is never enough, is it? One is just no way is it enough. And then I have a second one and third one. I've had my calorie count for the day. And it's 11 o'clock in the morning with my four biscuits. I said, Barry, after a couple of years, don't buy any more. So if you come and see us, it's not that we don't like you. We don't offer you a biscuit. We offer you tea. Hey, would you take a sip? Would you like a coffee? Would you like a tea? Don't ever assume a cake will come with it. Unless it's someone's birthday, because we don't stock them. The temptation, at least, is too big for me, and the others are probably upset with me because they don't have a biscuit every so often. But we don't, just don't stock them. We need to avoid temptation. You know, we don't tell the pastoral team, but I don't know whether they know, but when I started here, they used to have fat milk. Then that, what's that middle milk? Light, whatever. Somewhere in all there. I've just brought in that skim milk. I brought it in once and it just keeps coming every week. We just buy it. You see, it's changed. We just made this little change. All of a sudden, they don't know the difference. Well, in my home group on Friday night, one of our members has to bring special fat milk. And they all look around, where's that fat milk? I said, I'm sorry, we don't stock it in this house. You'll have to bring it. I know we're going to be loving, but you want it, you bring it, you take it home. And so they do, and they rejoice in their home group. Well, at least half of them rejoice when the fat meal comes. But we need to be careful about what we eat, how we eat. Laugh about a joke, but then help one another to glorify God with our bodies. Now, the Bible says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Don't think about how you can go and have a lot more food that you don't need. But also develop a healthy lifestyle with healthy eating. I'm not giving you a program this morning, but if we're going to look after our bodies to the glory of God, if we want them to last longer, then we need to do something about healthy eating and regular exercise. A survey in the United States, this is 20 years ago, said, long-term study of 12,000 men showed that those who exercise moderately, golf, walking or cycling, on a regular basis, had a 30% lower risk of cardiac death than those with a sedentary lifestyle. Generally, overall, if you want to live longer and serve Christ on this earth, sure, God can take you any time. But generally, if you want to live longer and serve Christ, get regular exercise. You know, my mother is 75 years of age. I don't think she'd seen sports shoes all through her life till about 60, 65. Now, seeing big Greek mamas, you know, with their... Oh, she's not that big anymore because she's been exercising and dieting. She's 75. Her mother died at 72. High blood sugar levels. She's trying to look after her body and she walks about 30 minutes a day. I see my mum walking around with her sports shoes as she goes up and down the street. God bless. If my mum can do it, a Greek mum from the hills, then anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Some of the things it will do for you as we come towards the end of this. Proper exercise will do the following things for you. What surveys show? Number one, it will strengthen your heart muscles and decrease the risk of heart disease. Right? I don't want to visit you in hospital with heart attacks. I will. Because we all get them sometime. but you can guard against some of those things. It will ensure your lungs work more efficiently. It will prevent weight gain. It will build strong and healthy bones because you use them all the time, the exercise. It will lower your blood pressure. But more than that, it will make you feel good. Have you heard of the endorphin effect? Studies indicate that you have vigorous exercise consistent for a period of time. It releases an endorphin, a chemical in your body that, firstly, it produces increased energy, improved attitude, a mood balance, and a general sense of well-being. And you wonder why those people who exercise look better and feel better and seem happier? Why? Because God made our body that way to release this endorphin to make us happier when we exercise. So those people, you want to be like them? I want to be like them. I know, you know, when I used to walk regularly, more regularly than what I am at the moment, in the mornings, force myself at 5:30 and till 6, 6:30, whatever, there was this new energy, there was this strength, this vitality. I'm thinking, Jeff, you exercise too, don't you? Bit. I mean, look, he's fit, he's healthy. He said, look at this man, perfect specimen down the front. I mean, there are people like that. I take Chloe training. We drag her out of bed. Tim's exercising in the foyer right now. He needs it. But Chloe, we drag her out of bed at 6:45 to take her swimming training from 7 to 8. She's only 7 years of age. Chloe, you've got to get up. I don't want to get up. I want to sleep. Drag her out, tie her up, throw her clothes in, throw her into the car, drive her to the place, dump her out into the pool. Put your cap on. Don't talk to me. Just put it on. Put your goggles on. Get in the pool. Now, this kid is dead in the morning. Let me tell you what she's like at 8 o'clock. I mean, how many Cokes does she drink? Because this kid is full of life. She's joking. She's full of fun. And she's probably a little bit tired. But there's something about exercise that God has made our bodies. Bill Hybels puts it this way. I don't believe this is an accident. God knew stress was going to be part of living in a sinful world. So he provided a natural means for us to relieve it. Do you want to be a happier person? Get some exercise. Eat well. Get some exercise. Friends, God has... let me come to a conclusion. God has given us a body to care for. He says, don't overindulge, don't overeat. And let me say, it is so tough in Australia to do that. Don't you think? It is so tough in Australia. There is so much affluence. We have so many things around us. But can I urge you to think about using your body for the glory of God? Can I urge you also to think of the starving children in a developing world? They don't have food to waste, but it just wastes away. And get a godly perspective. I'm going to show you a video now. And it's a reflection over what we've done over the last 7 weeks. Just a moment. We're talking about pride and anger and greed and laziness and impurity and envy and gluttony. Through the power of God, let's give those things up. Let's live with humility and patience and generosity and zeal and purity and kindness and self-control. This is a song of reflection where somebody says, how does sin come into our lives to be aware of it? I urge you just to talk to God as you watch this, confess your sins, whatever they happen to be, and ask for God's power and strength to imitate Jesus in how you live. Let's just watch this.